Blog Talk Radio.
War Steel Records.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Walk from reloaded, step into the palace. Better check your matters for fine divine savage. Not average, sonny, I'm rich money. A king among men from sin that pure ugly. Hug me polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turning back the water, your order, order mine. Reality, relationship, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I enter if you're miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I press the rose from my garden to my heat there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, now pure glisten. Love life loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dudes counting spoil.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the guff on that Turner style, untainted. A messenger of light, I'm sitting to the night. My poetry is pain, Eric Ben Ross Wright. Stepping to Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, birth to approve. This is the Diva Squad on the move. Rachel and DC, gotta take it easy. Start to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich money, I ride, survive all your lives. Most high too good, so I keep staying high. Wild parable, GQ, non-comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Make a major move, GQ, with colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
I am your host, Rich Money, and welcome to another episode of Love and Entertainment here on GQ Palace Radio. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, nothing would be possible. Now, last weekend, we had a spectacular show. Amazing. We had Sade, Archibald, with the GQ General Question. We had up-and-coming artist, Ace Walker. And we talked to him about what's going on with him and all the things he's been doing and about his track he got out for his goddaughter, Daisha. May she rest in peace. She was killed. We also had a special guest appearance, Panay Jackson, pop star Michael Jackson's niece. Was in the building last weekend. To hear his last weekend episode, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace. That's DEEQUE Palace. Tonight, we have a banger for y'all. Tonight from 6 to 7, what we're going to do, we're going to let the callers call in. If they have a topic, we're going to talk to them about their topic. But the topic for tonight also is, what would you do if you found out your ex was dating a family member? For the GQ General Question topic for tonight. What would you do if you found out your ex was dating a family member? From 6 to 7, Then from 7 to 8, we have R&B sensation Harry Marquis in the building. And we're going to play his smashing single, Guarantee. When I say this kid is on fire, he is fire, scorching, sparking flames. And we're going to find out what's his next step in the music industry. After Aries Marquis, we have a special guest appearance, Pete Daxton from Touch of Class. That's right, Pete Daxton, the legendary group Touch of Class, will be in the building. And we're going to play some exclusive music from him and Touch of Class. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back with the GQ General Question. This is Rich Money here on GQ Palace. Love and entertainment. Butter, baby. Because what if you have that family member that you don't get along with? Would you feel like, okay, well, since I'm bothered with that family member, then I'm just going to keep rocking out? Now, the reason we're doing this like this tonight is because the fact of it is we're doing so much, we didn't have a GQ General Question for tonight. So my thing for tonight is to bring on that topic, find out what's going on, and get your feedback on it. But we also going to be playing some music for the meanwhile. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to get into another track. And when y'all ready, if you're on your PCs, the number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air to give your point of view, or you can stay on the line and hear the show. Like I said, I'm going to say it again. Tonight, topic is, what would you do if you found out your ex was dating a family member? We'll be right back. This is DQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
Step up in the spot, plug the fence up, I make it hot. What you got? Oh yeah, the same old guns, money, and all that. You step your game up and all that. In fact, yeah, what you call that? What a dick that think you ball at? You said you shot, so with them all that. Yeah, all that. Heard you was a run around. You know, when niggas give orders and make you run around. Cause you was a small dog, lost in the town, it's all now. Cause you just showed your car to start, but life is hard. And you know what it's like when you roam in the night. And you see something that you like, and you thinking that's nice. So you can do the crime, but you ain't trying to pay that price. You can do the time, but it ain't that life. The system ain't that right, but you betray that life. Imagine opened up a book, grabbed a pen and made that life. How does one define you? Who the fuck beside you? Think you're the one, I guess I must remind you. I'll explain exactly what it is that I do. I'm the one that supplies you with limits that surprise you. Here's what I would do, if I was you. I would do survival tools and make survival moves. It's obvious, you're about to lose. Trying to stop the man that's unstoppable. You make it happen, enough of trouble, enough of trouble.
You in the trouble, can't get that on. I'm looking for some money, I can get my hands on. Talking with a chick that can keep her pants on. Make it hot.
Before they come, believe I'm taking all you got. Think you're wicked, no you're not. Can you kick it, no you can't. When no bells on your pants, fucking up your stance. Don't go fucking up your pants for the angels in the pants. Bendies in the pants, feed the niggas in your camp. Chickens just wanna live, for the money we fam. Doing all that you can, proving all that we can. Don't let me ruin your plans. But if you and your man was cool as a fan, then I was sitting suited to win. Snapbacks and tattoos, that's what you do to your skin. Butterflies on your face, but that's the mood you was in. What you crying about now, man? Till I'm rosy and chin. New York, we finna do it again and again. Go ahead and put the word out. Tell the world it's him again.
Divas, welcome back to the palace. I gotta apologize for that, because usually I play music, radio version. I didn't pay attention to that chorus you were saying, but that song is fire. That was G.I.T.O. They be on in about 3 weeks, talk about their material and what they got going on. But tonight's topic is, what would you do if you found out your family member, your ex was dating a family member? We actually have a caller on the line, and we're gonna bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you this evening?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm can't and won't complain.
All right. Did you hear the
But I would complain if some mess like this was going on.
What? So you would actually have a problem.
Myself, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't do anything, but I would have to feel like this was something, an ongoing situation. You know, you just ain't linked up like that, but I wouldn't have anything to do with either one of you.
Okay,
you know,
but what
because
if it was
that's
a close family member?
Huh?
Okay, what if it was a close family member? You said you wouldn't
that's
do
what
anything,
I'm saying.
But what if it was a close family member?
I mean, it's, now, if it was like a sister or like first cousin, I mean, honestly, I'm going to have some, I'm going to have some problems. But, you know, who do I turn to or who do I not deal with, you know, for the simple fact, blood is blood and blood is thicker than water. You know, but my thing is, why would you even want to go behind with somebody that I've dealt with? You see what they did to me?
That happens. That happens.
Yeah, it does. It does, unfortunately.
That person didn't do something to them. See, there's many ways you could put this story. You know?
Yeah.
There's many ways.
Because, I mean, she wow. That's one of them things that make you go, But, you know, it's a hard call because if it was my sister, you know, I can't stop loving my sister because it took two to tangle, you know.
Okay, so why would you be bothering with your ex? What if you and your ex?
Oh, I wouldn't be bothered with my ex. You know, you all go on, but, you know, eventually I feel like karma is karma. The same thing that happened with you and I, it's going to come down that, you know, hey, the same thing is going to happen. You know, but it would be hard for me to, like, be in the atmosphere of both of them. You know, like a family outing. And the way that I know my family would not tolerate it.
So,
you know, that's kicking it into another topic, but...
Okay, so you said mainly it would be hard for you to be in a family island. So you stopping them from doing your activity?
No, no, no. I would go to the activity, but I wouldn't be around them. You know, if they're in one spot, I'm going to be in another spot. You guys go ahead and kick it up, you know, do what you do. But, you know, he would really be stupid to even come to a family outing. Knowing that you knew my family before.
But
you know, unless you don't come around.
Yeah, but you do have people that do that. You know,
yes, you do, every single day.
They don't
feel like anything is wrong with it.
Yeah, and see, that's the bad part about the situation. See, but if you got your mate and you got your family member. Now, what if you're not too thrilled about that family member? Because you also have that being involved in a family situation. This family member, I don't care what this person do. I don't care. They not my family, you know, even though they really is family. But what would you do
right,
that
right.
Would you actually still be bothered with it, even though you're not dealing with your ex and you're not dealing with this family
member? You
know
what? In that scenario, Rich, it wouldn't even bother me. You know, to a certain extent, it would bother me, but it wouldn't bother me because I'd be like, well, you know, that's the grime and it's in him and her. You see what I'm saying? But
yeah, I understand
you're not
going
to just do this overnight. This had to be something coming on for a while.
Okay, well, let's say it could have happened right after y'all broke up. And he probably went after the family member. See, I'm giving different scenarios here because,
you know,
it's a situation that I know about. You understand? So my
thing
is,
honestly, you know, hey, I'm going to stick by my blood. I've got to stick by my blood. I'm not going to go out there acting no fool, you know, fighting, you know, her or whatever family member it is, sister, cousin, whatever, aunt, you know. I'm not going to go out there and fight them looking like a fool. And when I know that, hey, if it's what he chose and she chose, what can I really do? It's nothing I really could do. I'm not going to say I'm going to like it, but I'm going to have to deal with it. If that's what they both of them chose to do, I'm just not going to try to be around to be in their presence like that. But I'm not going to stop going to my family outings either.
Okay, so
what would you do?
In other words, what would I do?
Yeah.
I have to say something about it to both of them and let them know I don't approve of it. I don't like it. So
right.
Now either y'all cut this, or you cut this. And I tell my family, well, you got to cut this off. Either, you know, we not family no more. I don't even see that being family no more. Because to me, that's like, okay, why is my family member going after my old goods? So that's going to make me think, my family member doing this person better than I was doing. You understand? It puts a lot
right,
of
right,
on
right.
Head.
Right.
You know?
You're going to feel
and,
some type of way either way it goes. You know, it's going to be some type of feeling. You know, no. It's not a good feeling, but at the end of the day, what can you do if this is what they choose to do? We're talking about two grown people, so, I mean, you can't make or break them. Like I said, I'm not going to go out there and show out, you know, and be trying to fight anybody or going off on him, you know, because at the end of the day, I'm the one looking stupid if I go to those lengths.
I don't think it's, you know, it's the point of just having feelings. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think the feelings is involved with it also. You know, because it depends on how much you also dealt with this ex. What was y'all involved with? What y'all break up for? Did you do something to this ex and y'all broke up and they went to a family member? Who's to say you didn't do
Rich,
did
I can barely hear you. I don't know if it's my phone or yours.
You can hear me now?
Hello?
Hello? You can hear me?
Barely. Just barely.
Just barely.
I'm going to hang up and call back and see if it's my phone.
Okay, because I hear you real well.
Oh, I can't hear him at all.
All right. Well, caller's going to call back. But my thing is, who's to say that the ex didn't do something to you? You understand? Who's to say the point of it is the fact of, all right, well, he did something to me, and he went to talk, or she went to talk to my family member, and then they got into a situation where their communication was better than what we had. You understand? There's lots of ways you can actually put this story. You know, we have another caller, and we're going to bring them on the line real fast. Hello, caller, are you there?
What's going on, Rich? What's going on, man?
What's going on?
This your boy Chick the comedian.
What's going on, Chick? I think we got Jean back on the line.
Yes, I am. I'm back. Thank you.
Okay. Did you hear the topic, Chick?
Yeah, man. The topic kind of serious, man.
What would you actually do in that situation?
Hey, you know the one thing that I say to T that you know. The thing about, you know, about forgiveness, you can forgive a person, but not forget it, man. And, you know, a sister and brother bond is only based on the relationship that you build upon anyway. So, you know what I mean? And, you know, I learned that just because you're my brother, that don't mean I'm supposed to love you no better than I'm supposed to love the other person. So, if somebody hurt me like that, man, I really don't know what I do. I remember when I was little, and I found out my brother, he messed with my girl, man, like, I tried to eat it, but as soon as I looked at him, I was like, I just couldn't. You know, we fought. You know, I think that we fought because I can't believe that she would hurt me like that.
Right.
I mean,
right, because it
I mean,
is hurt.
It is a hurtful feeling. Because,
yeah.
Well, like I was saying before, what if the situation came down to you doing something to that ex, and that ex went to that family member to talk, and their communication just got stronger than what y'all communication was, and they forgot. You understand? And to me, it's lots of ways you can actually look at the whole picture.
Right.
You know? You can't just look at it on one point. We have another call. I want to bring them on real fast. See what they say. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Did you hear the topic?
Yes, I did.
and what's your point of view on it?
I'm just going to say, back in the day, before I was saved, I had to put my hands on both of them. I had to. I've been there. and I had to put my hands on both people's balls. I had to, like, you know, I'm sure it looked probably ridiculous to my mother, but at the same time, I had to put my hands on them. I had no other, from when I heard it to the point of me seeing nothing but red to looking at one of them and then them denying it and then me confirming it with my sister, oh, yeah, it was on. It was on.
I mean, but do you feel like you did
you
something?
Getting violent, did it result? I mean, what was the
outcome?
Made
me feel better.
Okay, you felt better.
Yeah, I did. I felt better. I felt like I had really did justice right
you
now.
Accomplished your goal.
Right, it's a code. It's a code that people have in general with other people. And when
right.
it comes down to your family, family is not supposed to do that. Okay.
Right.
Now,
it's just certain lines you don't cross.
Exactly.
I mean,
now, that's
what
the line that you don't cross. Well, I'm going to tell you, me personally, family, you don't cross that line to me, you know, because
period.
I love my family. Don't get me wrong. I love my friends. I love my friends that are closest, you know, closest to me that are like my family. I love them all. But if somebody was to ever try and cross that line like that to me again, I might have to lose my religion again.
Exactly.
I'm not sure. It depends. Because, you know, once you're in that situation and you feel like, you know, okay, you feel violated, you feel betrayed, you feel like what? What
and especially if this person knows the love that you have for your ex, I mean, or had or whatever. You know, it could have been a crazy breakup, but at the end of the day, like you said, you violated me.
Right.
And being violated is just, you know, in other words, you're just taking me as a weak chick. You know, like, I couldn't handle this, or you're just going to go behind me, period. Just going behind me, period. It's the thought.
Exactly. To me, it's like, out of all the men there are out there, okay, and out of all the women there are out there, you had to resort to somebody that's related to me. Really?
Right.
See, that's what I'm saying. It could have came down to the fact of them talking to this person, a relative, you know, just to get some feedback, and their connection just got strong. Why can't it be like that?
Because you know what, the person that was involved, it wasn't a connection. It was, what do you call it, a sibling rivalry. You know, where like one person always felt like they were in competition with the other one. So, okay, she got it, so let's see if I can get it. I want to get some of the stuff that she was getting. That's what that was. It had nothing to do with the fact of, okay, I caught feelings for you, let's be together. No, it was always a competition thing. Like, I'm in competition. So she felt that she had to try and compete. But my thing was, that was already my sloppy seconds. I mean, if you want it, go ahead at the end of
exactly.
the day.
Exactly.
But come to me and talk to me about it first. Don't make it seem like everything is cool. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry it worked out like that, this, that, and the other. Like, you know, giving me a pity party. And then at the same time,
wow.
as soon as I leave, it's on. No, it doesn't work out like that. To me, I had to put my hands on him. I had to say, you know what, listen, my hands is going on both of y'all. And at the
bottom
end of the day, I felt better. You know, I was young.
Wait,
I felt better.
You said you felt better, but why would you feel better after that? I don't, why would you feel better?
Because she released that
right.
anger that was inside of her on both of them. So
right.
therefore,
now, mind
she
you,
felt like she did what she had to do.
But let me help you. It wasn't
the situation.
But see, it wasn't like. But I'm gonna be honest with you. Listen, it wasn't even like it was a one night stand. We were together for 3 years.
Wow.
We were together for 3 years. We were broken up
okay.
4 months. Are you kidding? Like,
I'm sorry. I think I got the wrong idea. I ain't fighting over that. I'm sorry, I thought y'all meant like you was cheating. Like, oh, you talking about the person left and they was creating? Oh, no, I'm, you know, I would take it as being trifling. You know what I'm saying? I would take it as being like, you know, I would get them know like, yo, what you really did, like you really did that. It make you think that y'all like each other while we were together. But
right.
we broken up and you decided to mess with that person. Oh,
right.
Now we got kids together and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, we was married. But Steph, I just was going with you or something. You just my girl. Oh, nah, it's what it is.
I must tell you, I felt so much better. I was the best stress reliever I've ever experienced.
Wow.
And I was young. But I was young.
Would
you
do it again?
I was fighting constantly. Well, you know, my husband now, I have nothing to worry about.
Okay.
I'm confident, you know.
Okay.
But when you're younger and you're getting to, like, know your body and you're getting to grow and you're starting to mature and you're starting to figure out who you are, you know, you're making that transition. Now, my transition was I was always fighting just because anyway, you know. So my thing was if you get disrespected, then you're going to fight, you know.
Okay.
I was fighting constantly. So that's why me fighting meant it was nothing to them because they were used to me fighting all the time, you know. But then it's like to me it was worth the bumps and bruises that they got because I felt like you disrespected me. And when I was younger, if I felt like somebody disrespected me, I was going to fight.
Oh, okay.
So therefore, it was, you know,
you
it was
like
nothing.
You just like to fight, lady.
I was a very angry teenager. I was very angry, and figuring out who you are, you know, when you're growing up, the only thing you know is fighting. The only thing you know is that loyalty and respect is everything. If you get disrespected, you have to put your hands on people to show them you're not playing. You know, when you're used to that and you grow up with that, you automatically think, you know, in your head, that's your mentality. If I get disrespected, oh, I'm going to fight you. I'm going to punch you in your mouth because you ran your mouth. You know, so therefore, when you think of it, you know, that way, that's all I knew, you know. That's all I knew. And now I speak to my sister. She's fine, you know. I don't trust her as far as I could throw her, but she's fine.
But how long did they stay together even after you got into it with them?
They didn't, because that's why it was a competition
thing.
As we were growing up, it was a competition thing, you know.
Oh, okay.
I was always the pretty one. She was always the ugly one. So it was like, you know, it was a competition. Okay, if she's pretty and she got this person and they brought her all this stuff and this is what they're doing.
I want to see what he's going to do for me.
Exactly. But in all reality, what she got was a couple of nights and maybe a movie or two. She didn't get what I was getting. And after I put my hands on her and I put my hands on him, I had to let them know, like, listen, now if y'all want to be together, now that I know, go ahead, because I'm done. You know,
right.
I put my hands on him because...
But I don't mean to cut you off. I'm going to let you finish. But was it that you was going out talking about him, like he's doing so much for you? Could have that been it?
No, because when you're 16 years old, what do you know? When you're 16, what do you really know about going out and, you know, someone treating you good? And when you all live in the same household, you see my bags when I come home. You see when I come home, this is what I have. You see if I say, okay, we're going to go eat or whatever, you know what we're doing. So it's not like you have a friend and you call them on the phone and you gossiping with them. You know, no, it's you're coming home, so people do see what you have, you know. And that's what it was about. It was like, okay, it was competition. She got this. I want this. Let me see if I can get it. And after she got the, you know, the couple nights or whatever, that was it. He was done with her. Like, he accomplished that he smashed two sisters. And she accomplished pretty much that I was able to sleep with my sisters a sloppy second. And I accomplished I was able to put my hands on both of y'all. It was a win-win situation at the end.
A win-win situation?
Yeah, we all won. We all had a benefit. When you think of it from a man's perspective and a woman's perspective, okay, she felt that she conquered, right? She felt like, okay, I won the competition. I was able to have something that my sister had. So she felt she was accomplished. He felt that, you know what, I got a big head and I got a big belt now because I smashed two sisters. So when you think of it from a man's point of view, depending on the man and the age, they feel like they really did something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in return, I felt like I did something because it made me feel better.
Wow.
Well, makes sense to me.
So wait. I must have missed something on this story here. I think I missed something on this story. So you talking about your sister?
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, I mean, the one I shared a room with, the one that we shared clothes with, Yes. Whoa. The one that we cleaned up the house together. We helped raise our other siblings. Yes, my sister, my blood sister, not a stepsister.
Well, was you going around flaunting like, you know, I got a good man and such and such? I'm not saying he was right for doing it, you understand, but I'm just saying, could have that been the reason?
Well, you're 16. What you know about a good man? You
right.
know what I mean? You don't, when you're 16 and you're trying to figure out yourself and figure out your body and go to school, you don't know nothing about a good man. You just know that you like somebody, they like you, you guys are together, you're hanging out, you're having a good time. That's all you know. And when you
older man?
When you're, no. My sister's older. My sister.
You know, it don't matter at the end of the day. You see her violated.
Right.
You know, she see her messed up.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
she had no business
right
dealing
that.
With this man, period.
Exactly. That's why I say, you can't, there's certain boundaries, there's certain lines that you don't cross, and that's the one you don't cross. I don't care if I met a guy and I slept with him, and the next thing you know, he met my sister. As soon as you know that's my sister, and she know that I was with you, she's not supposed to touch it.
Step back.
She's not supposed to touch it. Out of all the billion men out there are out there, I mean, come on. Like, what's the benefit of that? Besides, you're going to give him a big belt and a big head because he feel like he accomplished something. And we both look like idiots because we both slept with him.
Wow.
When people hear about it, they're not saying, oh, yeah, you know, so-and-so had him first. No, they saying that's some dirty bras that both of them let that guy smash them. They saying,
right.
Oh, they dirty. Oh, they grimy. You know, they saying that. The females are saying that. The guys are like, oh, well, if he smashed it, I know I could smash both of them, too. You
true
know
that.
What I mean? I try to look at the bigger picture about it, and I think it's more than just people knowing about it, you know. It's your image.
Okay, but what you were saying was what you know about being 16, you know, about a good man and everything. It had to be something you know to get you upset for the fact of her dealing with him. You had to have some
respect. It was respect.
It was the principle.
It was respect. No, it was respect. Like, that's just like rich money. That's like, okay, if you have a brother, right, and your brother decides that he wants to smash the ex-girlfriend, he knew that you was with her, and you guys are younger. When you were 16, what did you know about being in love and, you know, going to marry this person and building with this person? Only thing you knew is that you was trying to beat something up and leave it at that. You know, when I was 16, my thing was, I'm smart, I'm focused, but I'm violent. You know, and because I was violent, I had that aggression, that angriness in me, and mind you, I still think that if my dad was in my life when I was younger, that it wouldn't have happened because I wouldn't have been looking to a man at that young age, and I would have known how a man was supposed to treat me. You know, if I would have had that, I know exactly, oh, yeah, I have a good man. Because, your family, your father, he's going to help you. Okay, you're daddy's little girl. This is how someone's supposed to treat you, you know. I didn't have that. So, therefore, my thing was, oh, we have fun. You know, he treats me nice. We go to school together. It's okay. You know, I didn't know nothing about having a good man and him treating me good. I just knew he was having fun. And we had fun for 3 years.
Wow.
You know, but who would have thought in a million years my sister would have slept in him?
The same person that you slept with.
Right. That's disgusting.
And, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just total disrespect. Either way you look at it, I mean, you know, you didn't care about my feelings at all. You know, you never even looked at a bigger picture that this is my something my sister had.
Right. It wasn't even a thought. To me, honestly, it wasn't even a thought in her mind. It was like, you know what? Because we were always, to me, I always felt like she was in competition with me. You know, so because I felt that she was in competition with me, she had no stop sign that was there that said stop, don't do this, don't do that. It was more like, if she can do it, I know I could do it too.
So how much older was she than you?
That's what I was going to ask too. How much older
she's
was
five
she?
She's 5 years.
Wow.
She's 5 years older than me.
Wow.
Situations like that, you know, you gotta realize, like I said, it's plenty of ways you could go about it. You understand? For the simple fact of, you know, it depends on how you look at it. That's what I'm gonna say. It depends on how you look at it. You know, because you got the exes, you know, some of them that show respect and some of them that don't. You got people that still friends with their exes. You know, and they could still be attacking a family member, you won't know.
I don't know how to be friends with my exes.
Well,
I don't know how. I think that that's like, depending on how you broke up, how is that possible?
Yeah, but regardless, I mean, why go to a family member of mine? Like you say, as many women and men that it is out there, why even resort to that?
Well,
you know,
is
it just to get back at me?
Or, I mean, what is the real problem? Y'all might be looking at it wrong, because sometimes a person can be with somebody and then, like, they're so much part of your family that another person becomes friends with them. And just like Rich was saying, things can happen in a situation where y'all exchange emotions with each other. And then y'all get a connection with each other. I'm not saying nothing. It's something wrong to do, but it happens. I thought y'all was saying, like, yo, they was creeping. And, you know, you try to mess with somebody I was messing with. But you're talking about, like, if you was far removed from that person and that person was still friends with with other people, it's hard to say. I guess it depends on the situation. But you mean something like, say your sister didn't. Say, for example, like, y'all didn't live in the same household. Say, for example, like, y'all was grown and they became friends and started going out. After y'all thought it was over.
That's what I mean. You know, but you got to look like I was saying. It goes back to what I was saying. You got an ex. And your ex, all of a sudden, when y'all break up, who can say, all right, let's say you and your ex is together. You and your girl is together. Right? And he finds out you're cheating. You understand? He goes to your cousin and start talking to your cousin. Right? Now, they vibe is getting so good at it, and they vibe is so strong that the fact of they wind up hooking up. How would you feel about that? Knowing that you messed up and she went to your cousin, would you still be mad about that situation? How would you actually feel about it?
See, I still say there's lines.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I get it, but I still think that there's lines that were crossed, you know? I feel like, you know, when you cross those lines, then what do you have? You know, to me, family is family. And I mean, even if you pass my fifth cousin, to me, family is family. Blood is supposed to be thicker than water. So if we...
I mean, that's what they say.
But you know what? Each person is different. Like me, my thing is, I love my family. I would never in a million years, I don't care if it was the last piece of you know what on earth, I would never do that. I don't care if they were together a day. I don't care if they were together 10 years. I would never do that. I would never. There's certain things you just don't do, and to me, that's one of them.
Yeah, but hold on. We have another caller. I want to bring this caller on. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello?
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 Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. You can hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Did you get a topic for this evening?
No, I just caught the last end of what somebody was just saying, that's family. I don't know. I'm talking about something about families. I'm assuming it's about family.
Okay, what would you do if you found out your ex was dating a family member?
Oh. I don't like these questions because I won't even have to go through nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? That won't even exist in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to separate my family, but we don't candy coat stuff. We say stuff right then and there.
Okay, so I'm missing. I'm sorry. So you were in. How would you feel about it? Like, let me explain to you why.
Okay. You know what? Let me tell you something. If that happened in my family, one of my cousins dated her ex, and then all of a sudden he dating another one of my cousins, she's getting intervention. A family, the Henderson or whatever, the Browns or whatever type of intervention she's getting that day. and she would be outcast in the family.
I'm gonna tell you what the Henderson side of the family is gonna do. I'm gonna tell you what the Browns gonna do. You're changing it around. Wait. So you're changing it around now. This is just a topic. I'm gonna give you an example like I gave the last call example. Okay. You ready?
Uh huh.
Okay. You and your ex is together.
Mhm.
He finds out you cheated on him. Okay. He goes to your cousin or whoever in your family, and you know, tell them about the situation or whatever the case is, and they wind up getting close and dating. How would you feel about that?
Oh, I'd be pissed. But
why? Why? He caught you. You cheated on him. Why would you be mad?
See, that's why I don't get myself in this type of situation. Oh my God, I'll be pissed. I don't get myself in this type of situation. I pray. That's why I don't get myself in this type of situation, because there's no way, you know, whatever, you know what, and I agree that if I cheated, I cheated, and, you know, he had to go run to her. She would be wrong if she starts sleeping with him. She would be definitely wrong.
Right.
Because she would say, if she's that type of person, hoping she's a Christian, she would say, well, we all have faults, we all fall short. And, you know, she would just start saying something like, well, you know, you shouldn't, you know, let's just, maybe y'all should talk it out. She wouldn't want to just sleep with him if she is my cousin. I'm telling you right now, we don't play this in my family. I'm serious, y'all. We don't do this type of stuff in my family.
I understand, but it do happen. It's something that, you know, you need to think about.
It happens, and you don't get me wrong. It happens. It happens when you got the same way, you know, two friends that, you know, they were friends like up, and they start dating because the other two had problems, but I still see something wrong with that.
Because if
they were roommates, why would you date your roommate's roommate? Like your ex girlfriend, even though they were roommates in college and stuff, why would you date her?
Because it's different. It's not different.
But no, it's not, because you know what? It's like, they've been friends through. She knew. Put it this way, I'm good friends with the ex girlfriend, and he's dating the new girlfriend, and they used to be roommates. That she knew everything about my cousin because she was crying to her ex roommate about stuff about my cousin. And all of a sudden, 6 years later, you dating. You know everything he put your roommate through, and you're dating him, even though he's my cousin.
It's a perfect example of what I was just saying.
So that don't make sense. I don't like stuff like that.
She roommate about it, and they got connected.
Yeah.
But let's say, all right, I want y'all to answer. Let's say it's a family member you don't get along with. Would you still feel the same way?
I still wouldn't do it.
What I'm saying is, how would you feel? Would you still be upset at your ex, even if it was a family member that you didn't get along
yes.
with?
Yes.
Even though
yes,
that was you cheating and you was in the wrong?
I would still be upset.
You don't
feel like that. Matter. You're still my family. They're still family.
Yeah,
we're family.
You don't
cross. And at the end of the day, if God forbid something was to happen out in the street and I got a phone call, I would be right there for you because you are my family.
Exactly.
So therefore, I would be very upset if I didn't speak to, let's just say, my cousin or whatever, and then she decided that she wanted to date my ex. I'd be very upset.
And I think it's wrong, and the fact that I see the ex, because we're friends, and I see the new person in church every Sunday. So it's like, and don't get me wrong, and I gotta pray, because you know how you don't remember her, and she's like, oh kid, you don't remember me? I used to be Tyra's, like, and then now is my whole attitude toward her has changed now, where though I can see her and don't see her, like walk past her and stuff like that. I gotta pray because I see her every Sunday, and I still look her up and down like, can't believe she broke the woman code of oath dating somebody. That's right. I don't pray, and I see her every Sunday in church. Every Sunday I see this girl, this female in church, and I will walk past her and I'll be like, hello, and they keep right on walking. I just don't have anything to say to her. I don't care if she's dating my cousin. I just don't have anything to say. I think she's wrong.
I think so, too.
I think she's wrong. She is wrong. I don't care.
All right, who am I speaking to, Tia?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, Tia? I noticed you skipped past the question. You never answered the question.
And what was that?
I asked you, would you be upset, and you went to...
Yes, I would be upset. Yes, I would be upset. I would be wholly upset. I don't think that's right. I don't care. I would be wholly upset.
This is what I don't understand. This is what's confusing me, to let y'all know. Okay? Why would you be upset if you got caught cheating and you're in the wrong? So why would that be upset?
I understand that part. I understand that part about me being caught. I got caught cheating and everything. But she's my cousin. She's my cousin, flesh and blood. If it was somebody on outside on the scum of the earth, I could care less. But this is my blood. I have to see this person all the time at family functions, whatever it is, I have to see her. She should automatically know not to even. If she's that type of, she was like, listen, you know, things, like I said, things happen. Maybe you and Kia need to talk about it, you know, or seek counsel and everything. She just don't go automatically go and sleep with him.
I'm just saying.
I just think it's family. You don't break family.
Rich Money, and to the other Don. Now you mean to tell me that it would be okay with you guys if that was to happen?
Excuse me.
No, I'm just talking right now. I mean, I'll let you know right now, man. I'm not saying that. It's okay. I said to each his own on how you judge upon it. Now, what I took was wrong was that am I going to fight somebody or, like, what am I, like, how upset am I going to get if I'm saying, like, you start messing with somebody I was messing with that I was over with, no longer with. I wouldn't even want to know the details of how y'all did get together. It's no longer my business.
That's going into the past. I wouldn't deal with the past.
It's no longer my business. I would ask the question, like, what made you? Like, you know what I mean? I would ask the question, it's no longer my business. I know somebody that they still friends. They used to go with the girl husband, and they've been together 40 years. So he used to mess with the other girl first.
Yeah, but I mean, you had a valid point, though. You would ask the question, you know, of why would you or whatever the case was. But my thing was, if you stick to what you said as far as it being an ex, that's your ex. It don't matter then. If she want to sleep with whoever, then it's okay. There shouldn't be a question because she's just actually done with it.
Okay, I want you to hold a line for a minute. I'm going to bring in another caller real fast. Time is getting closer. Hold a line. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
It's Tashi. How y'all doing?
Hey,
I just wanted to say that when somebody does something like that to you, a friend, it's different. You know what I'm saying? But if a family member does that, that says a lot about their character because they're supposed to be there for you regardless. You know what I'm saying? They're supposed to come to you and say, was there something going on with your relationship? Because you don't know what goes on behind closed doors with people's relationships. It might be a reason why the person is cheating. It might be a reason why whatever. So if that's your family, they're supposed to be looking out for your best interest. So for them to go behind your back and do something, that just shows their character. They don't have your best interest at heart. And sometimes family will do you worse than some friends.
Okay.
You know, although it's an ex, it doesn't mean that you have to have feelings for them. It's just a point of respect. You know what I'm saying? Respecting that person and respecting boundaries. You know what I'm saying? Like if that person did you wrong or something like that, your ex, somebody related to you or a friend shouldn't sleep with them. They did you wrong and didn't work with y'all, so why would they even go there? They must have been envious all along.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. I'm gonna ask you the same question I asked, was it Kia, Dick, and T, and
mm-hmm.
okay.
Uh huh.
Now, did you hear the story?
No.
Okay. You with your ex.
Mm-hmm.
Alright.
Yeah.
Your ex texted you cheating.
Yeah.
You cheated on your ex now. Now they mm-hmm. go to your cousin or your family member, and they start telling, you know, explaining to them about the situation, whatever, and they hook up together. How would you feel about it?
Is that should that be okay? Is that what you want to know?
Yeah.
Because you
Remember,
cheated on
you
your
got
ex. It doesn't matter though. That was a relationship that I had with someone. Regardless to what we did in a relationship, how it left, went south, whatever. That was something that me and that person had. We had a bond. We had sexual relations. So that should just be out of limits. I wouldn't want to sleep with nobody my friend slept with. That's just, you know what I'm saying? That's just nasty anyway. You know what I'm saying? There's a million men in this world. Why would you pick somebody that went with one of your friends or your family?
Exactly.
unless you were envious, unless you thought you were a better woman, unless, you know what I'm saying, there's a whole bunch of other sides to that, you know, that deals with that person's, how they are, you know, their makeup.
Exactly. Because I said the same thing about my cousin's new girl. She had to be envious or jealous because why would she do something like that? I said the same thing, and I'm trying to, like, you know, pray about the truth because, like I said, I see her in church, and I am, believe me, in church, I can see her and don't see her. It's just like, you know, and I have to pray because when I see, you know, you come in church, I'm like, you know, so she said hello. I was like, oh, hello, how are you? And I just keep right on walking. No, she cannot ask me a question. No, she cannot say anything, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
I just keep it moving. I just keep it moving because I know she was envious. And you said the key thing, envious and jealous.
Exactly.
But why
and this is a person that you cannot trust in the future. Even if it was a family member.
Exactly.
If they slept with one of your exes, should you be able to trust them in the future? Like, when I'm done with this guy, is she going to pick him up too? Like, you don't want to even be thinking that, you know?
Oh, but the senior family members think, especially on that side of the family, even though me and his ex-girlfriends are good friends, she comes to my family stuff, but if he bring her over, we're not going to, like, say, Tara, you can't come because Tom's bringing someone. No, we're not going to be doing that. We just don't want her to come. That's how we're going to be doing it. We just don't want her to come. I'm sorry. I have to pray about this situation because it's a fact because I see her in church and I'm friends outside with the ex-girlfriend. So, and I know I'm wrong in church sometimes and stuff like that, but my aunts and all going to be like, you know what, Kiara, y'all just don't know. She folks are women.
Because you know what? Because guys and girls do it for different reasons. Like, guys, they'll just hit it. They'll be like, fuck it. If he ain't messing with her and she's going to give it up, I hit it. You know what I'm saying? But women do it. Women do it for different reasons. You know what I'm saying? They think, like, I'm a better woman than her. I can hold him down. I can whatever, whatever. It's a competition thing with them for them to even do something like that to you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can't speak on that. I guess I got to be mum on it. I understand y'all point because I see it from that respect. Now, mind you, I don't fought. Like, I tell somebody, they're like, I'm going to fight over a girl. You ain't fighting over the girl. You fighting over the principle. So I give you
the
stand about what y'all would do, the disrespect part. But, yo, what happens is this, and by being a worldlist, you set yourself up with how your relationship is with certain people. Like, for example, it's different if I said it was my wife we divorced or with my baby mother and we ain't together no more because we used to have a bond that, you know, you interrupted. Like, you know, now it's like, they call you uncle and father, like stepdad. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be there.
Exactly, yes. Y'all kids is cousins and sisters and brothers and stuff.
Everybody got a code. You know, you don't mess with nobody's family member. Like, that's how I live. I don't mess with nobody's family member. I got a code myself. But what happens is, you know, other people don't live by the things that you live by. And, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You can't hold people up to that standard. What happens is, you're in a relationship with somebody, but that person was like a, like I am. I'm like a, you know, I'm like a person that when I meet somebody, I'm friends with everybody. Everybody gets along with me. So, you know, I might, this is just a scenario. This ain't no true story. So, say if I was like messing with, one of y'all was my girl. And, you know, you had a girlfriend or you had a sister that was like that. That's how I did it best. Then you know how it goes.
But see, the only thing I would agree with though is that you had made a statement, part of your statement, you were saying that, you know, everybody's not like that. You know, like where, you know, you might be a certain way, but then, you know, you might have a friend that might be a little different. See, my thing is that I'm not even gonna be in your circle once I know that's how you get down. Because when you meet people, that person just knows you and that person knows the do's and the don'ts and the floors and stuff like that. And I let it be known up front. This is how I am. I don't do sloppy seconds. I'm not sharing no man. You know, you lay down the rules when you have friends because these are friends that you're going to share your information to, friends you're going to come into your household.
Yeah.
So therefore, all of that is established up front. Now, to me, you're not going to be in my circle if you don't get down the way I get down. And you don't walk right, or you're not walking with me. Because when we walk together, it's us being together. So when people see us, I can't have people saying, oh, okay, well, she's one way, or she's the same way. No, we're going to get down the exact same way. We're going to do this right. This is how we're going to be friends. If you're not rocking the way I'm rocking, then I'm not your friend.
Exactly.
Exactly. How do you live with yourself knowing you were roommates for 4 years in college? So when you were dating him, when and everything. She come crying to you and telling you, oh, we having a whatever. And all of a sudden, we graduated out of college, 4 years passed, and all of a sudden, you see him and I'm saying, now you're dating him? No way.
But you know what? That's why you got to be careful, too, of you always tell females, just like, when you be telling your friends how your man is in bed and all this other stuff,
exactly.
You know, sometimes that can, like, spark them to be like, oh, really?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So you have
yep.
to know the people that you're around and that you
exactly.
confide in also.
That's why they say you always
okay.
be careful who sits at your table.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So
I'm telling you, I just don't see how she live with herself like that. I just clearly don't understand that.
Really,
it's a lack of respect for her. It's a lack of respect for herself, if you ask me.
Yes.
Anybody that does that has a lack of respect for themselves. So you know what? When they don't respect themselves, not to respect anybody else.
Oh, but I'm getting a butt of the heat from family members, especially like people in church, like, care. I'm like, I don't care. I'm sorry, I have to pray about it because I'm sorry. I just cannot see her and like, you know, hey, how you doing? How are you? Oh, good. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, people, listen, because time is, you know, we have another segment. But what I would
well,
like y'all to do. Yeah. We have another. But I tell y'all, no lie. The artist I got coming up next, you're going to love his material. And if I want to stay on the line and give your feedback, do that. But I guarantee you have my word. This artist coming up next, Arius Marquis, I guarantee you will love his material. But what I want y'all to do is, each of y'all get feedback, a final thought on that topic.
If you my friend,
if you're my friend,
we're gonna get down the exact same way. If you get down dirty, you can't be my friend. If you sleeping around with somebody else's man, you can't be my friend.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to being my ex being with my sister, one of my family members,
mm-hmm.
that's a no-no. You are breaking the code completely, and you will never
exactly.
be respected for that. And I will never speak to you because you don't respect yourself, and you don't respect me.
Yes.
I agree. So that's why I don't feel guilty when I'm in church and I don't socialize with her, because I don't feel guilty. Yeah.
And the same way you got him is the same way you're going to lose him.
Exactly.
Okay. Wow. I want to thank all y'all for your point of views on the topic. Stay on the line because next we have up and coming artist Arius Marquis. He's doing big things. His material is crazy. We gonna play his smash single, guaranteed, and some more singles that he got. But I guarantee you, you're gonna love what you hear. So stay right there and don't move.
Oh,
this is Houston College Love and Entertainment.
And it's butter, baby.
My baby. What a lady, girl. You need a long, long distance soul. You're so fine from everything that you wear. Your kind of beauty is rare, and I swear you get better looking with every year. Get your sexual peak, your full naked physique. Young girl can't compete. Come cook your meal, something to eat, baby. And since we in the kitchen, girl, let me get that muffin. You look better the older you get.
Can't believe what time, girl. You're getting better. Picture of the
morning after. The story gets more pretty every chapter. Getting more attractive.
Baby, you're faster. You're one that I got. I'm about to leave her. Baby, sitting on the
side
with
my sweeter. If I could be your man, girl, you won't want for nothing. You look better the older you get. You really need to let me in your world, girl. What a proud girl. No Google, you're still a kitten. Working out there, shut your mouth, you looking thicker. You know how to hold your liquor. Nigga, show me your ID, I get the picture. I propose and those players raise your glass. But my biblical box is in my safety dash. Ladies, it's Thanksgiving, and I'm about to eat that stuff. You look better the older you get. More pretty every chapter, more and more attractive.
Anything
attractive.
easy. Cajun spice season. Sexy for no reason. Appetite season. Stop and take my season. If I tell them how good your love is, they wouldn't believe me. I can't believe with time. Looking like a picture. You show me gets more pretty every chapter. More and more attractive.
Right now, I have Arius Marquise. Marquise, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
All right, Marquise. I know you also have somebody with you, right? Is it true? You have some other people with you on the line?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, it should be my dad and my other friend, our other friend, Mr. Simmons.
Oh, how you doing today,
Amanda?
All right.
How y'all
right,
doing
right.
this afternoon?
How y'all doing this evening?
Okay, we definitely glad to have y'all on. Your dad
Thank
is
you.
Kenneth, right?
Yes,
yeah,
correct.
Yeah. He's my manager
okay,
and the labor owner.
Okay, and we have Wilbert on as well, Mr. Simmons.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, first, I got to tell you, Marquise, I heard those tracks.
Woo!
Ooh, I gotta tell you, you got a good thing going on there, man. You know, and I'm gonna put it out to everybody. You know, like I said, you know about it being on a mixtape and everything is definitely on there. Ain't no question about it. Now, what I want to know is your name, Arius Marquise. How did you come up with your name? Is that your government name?
Yeah, that's my first and my middle name put together.
Oh.
You know, at first I was thinking about, you know, trying to create another savvy name, but I just said Arius Marquise, it fits. So I just went with it.
Okay. Now, as far as you being a singer, what made you want to become a singer? Who were some of your influences?
It's kind of crazy because, to be honest with you, I grew up singing in choirs and, you know, singing at little school events and, you know, things like that. But I never really took it serious because this might sound crazy, but I never really knew I could sing until the 12th grade.
Wow.
I was at a talent show rehearsal for the first time ever, and my mom had told me, you know, just go out of high school with a bang. So, I said, let me try. And although I messed up the song for getting the word, I got an amazing standing ovation. And from that point on, you know, then when my dad heard, you know, I had this little thing on my voicemail. And when he heard that, then that's when he realized, wow, you know, the potential that could be in my voice. And he always told me, harness my skills. That was the first thing. He told me to harness my skills, make myself better, and here we go.
Ooh, okay. Now I know. In May of 2008, you was previously in a doo-wop group, J2. Tell us about that.
Yeah, around that time, I went to a club, and I saw this guy, and he was singing, you know, and I just, at the time, I looked at it as, you know, he's trying to really make it, you know, he's trying to find, you know, his niche in the business and try to, you know, find his breakthrough in the business, and I just felt, you know, I'm just now beginning. You know, I'm still trying to get myself in it. So maybe, you know, having a duo, you know, a fellow singer with me might motivate each other. We could motivate each other to, you know, make good music, make good hits, you know, impact people with our sound, with our voices, and, just go for it. You know, so I came up with the name J2. It took about almost 2 weeks to come up with it, to think of a good name for it, but came up with the name J2, which is short for Just Two, which is just me and him, you know, just two of us. And
oh, okay.
We were doing it up. We were doing it up.
Okay. Now, Dad, Kenna, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right? Okay, now, what was it like when you first heard your son's voice? Like, wow, what was that like? What area did you go in to bring him out there and get him where he got?
Well, the first thing I thought about, I said, well, man, he has some talent, you know. And in our family, as I always told my kids, in my family, especially on my dad's side, now his mother sings as well, but as well as on my side of the family, my dad is a professional singer. So singing tends to grow, you know, it tends to find its way in our family. Either you're a preacher or either you're a singer. But for him, it was about his voice. It was something different. So I felt that his voice was anointed. I mean, his mother did a good job with them while they were growing up, because his mother was their choir instructor at church. So she always worked with them on their vocal qualities, their tonation, their harmonies, and what have you. And so when I finally sat down and listened to his voice, my first thought was, oh, man, we can do something with this. But as he told you earlier, I always told my kids, if you want to be the best, you have to really work at it. You know, talent alone just don't take you to where you need to be. You have to really work. So Aries, as you said before, he was in the group J2. I managed that group.
Okay.
For a year and a half, along with another artist. And then when they decided to go their separate ways, it was just Aries and myself. I said, well, son, it's just me and you now. So what we decided to do was to form our own label. My sons are my business partners. So we own our own label, Black Music Cartel Entertainment. And
okay.
So I've invested in studio. We're pretty much a self-contained record label. We're an independent label, but everything is pretty much self-contained. So we, you know, we own the publishing, we own everything. So I pretty much grew my gifts for the business as well. So Aries has the gift and the talent. We've gone to showcases in St. Louis, over in Lufkin, Texas, and other places. And it seems that everywhere we go, people tend to gravitate to what we're doing. And so he's a professional. Really, he writes and arranges and produces songs. We worked with another cat at the time. His name was Ron North, who's an outstanding producer. Who, as you listen to the track, guaranteed he was the producer of that track. So he and Harry's collaborated and did an outstanding job on that single. But the album, what's the album?
Okay.
The album is entitled Guaranteed. So once you get the album and listen to the tracks from it, the majority of the tracks
heard,
are produced and arranged by Aries Marquise.
Okay. Well, Aries, I want to get to Simmons, but first I want to, because my line is flooded, so I want them to hear exactly what I'm talking about. So the first single I want to play, Marquise, is I'll Always Be Here. Tell us about that single.
Well, first of all, the entire album, every single song that I wrote is based on true stories, and that's no lie, no exaggeration, every single song. And I'll Always Be Here was based on, you know, just an incident that happened with my ex. You know, she was going through some things, and she was trying to get ready for something, you know, and I'm just looking at her go back and forth in the room, and she's kind of complaining or whatever, but then I'm trying to talk to her, and then right before she walks out the room, she just says, well, it seems like nobody's going to be here for me. She just closed the door, and then I looked at the door, and I literally said, well, I'll always be here. So I literally went in my car, sat down at my computer, and I clicked the record, and I just literally, at that moment, sung the chorus, I'll always be here with you, I'll always be by your side, I'll always be here to make sure everything is going right, and that was it. That was it.
Oh, okay.
That was the first song I ever came up with, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So we're going to get into that, because like I said, my lines is flooded. I got them listening in. I know you got them listening in. And we're going to get into that single right now. All right, Dons and Divas. Here's a banger by Aries Marquise. One of his bangers, which he has many. I'll Always Be Here. Remember where you heard it. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Yeah. You're long.
felt that the agent that we were working with wasn't doing enough to give us an opportunity or give us the opportunities to go out there and expose what we do as an organization or as a company. My son's talent, one of the things not only as a label owner, but as a father and as a manager, I think every opportunity should be gained when you hire somebody to do the job for you. So we felt that nothing wasn't going right with this individual, so we decided, I called a friend of mine who owns a marketing and promotion company out of Miami, and I kind of said, well, look, I need to find me a very good booking agency so we can work with him on finding opportunities to showcase my son's talent where we can get out there and be exposed more. So when he did that, he sent me some numbers, some messages via my laptop, by my iPad, and once I got the messages of the different agents he recommended, I called this one guy out of Atlanta, and that's when he recommended Mr. Simmons. So Mr. Simmons ended up calling me, and then we ended up having a very good conversation. And I told him what we were looking for, and I told him, before anything, take a look at my son's material. And so he called us. Basically, he looked at the material, and then he called us. Let me say it like that. And the rest is history. Mm-hmm. I'll let Mr. Simmons tell you that.
Wow.
Yep. So that's ever since then. Let me say this. Ever since we met Mr. Simmons, things and doors have been opening up. So God is good. He's a God-sent individual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So every opportunity everything that we talked about, that we were asking and seeking, he's been able to go out and do that. His talents alone, it speaks volume about him as an individual.
Oh, okay. Yes, because he's very talented. Now, Mr. Simmons, what was your reaction when you first heard the material?
Well, basically what I do when it comes to artists, because I have so many artists that submits material to me by email for me to sit down and listen to and review it, and I try to give a fair and honest opinion. And I have been looking for a real good R&B singer for quite a while, because I'm working with different companies and doing different things in the entertainment industry. And so when I heard Aries Marquise music, I was like, oh man, this is it. This is that gift that I've been waiting for all these years that just came to me from the heavens above. And I've been thoroughly excited. I've been blessed to be a part of this family with the father, Aries, and his other brother, and to try to open up other opportunities that a lot of people just don't get that chance to have done for them. Because in this industry, a lot of things don't go as they're supposed to, or some people don't do as they say they will do. But with God's blessings, I try to put all my heart and soul into what I'm doing. And I got to give God thanks, first of all, foremost. I got to give God and our Father, Son, Jesus Christ, the highest thanks and praise possible. And to get to you, to get to this radio station and this very popular man that I'm talking to, I can't even say it. I've been just so busy doing some things or whatever on his behalf. And like I said, God is a blessing. God is a real great blessing to me concerning him. And we just look to do a lot of great things. And I got to thank Mr. Charles Hardy of the Manhattans. He's the one that referred me to this wonderful man at this radio station and to this organization. And I give him thanks. And me and Mr. Charles Hardy, I sent the material to him.
Mm-hmm.
I sent the material to Mr. Hardy of the Manhattans, the world-famous Manhattans, and he said, Mr. Simmons, I like this. I really do like this, and I see where you would like to go, and I will do everything I can to try to assist you. And from there, like I said, he put me in contact with Mr. Rich here, and from there, we've been trying to move forward ever since.
Oh, we definitely going to make things happen for Marcus. Ain't no question about it. We definitely going to make things happen for him.
Now, then Charles Harley's a very good friend of mine. Very, when he told me, I said, okay, then I know you got it good, you know? And as you can see, I'm like, wow. I didn't know it was that good. I ain't even going to lie to you. I thought it was good, but I didn't think it was that good. You know, when you listen to every single track and you like all of them, it's like, wow, you don't get that from everybody. You really don't get that from a lot of people. You don't get that from artists that's out now. You know,
exactly.
You don't hear every track and like every track. And it's all different styles and it's all stories that you're telling, which makes it more on a higher level than most of the artists that's out here now. Now,
Mark
Lee, you were also in 2010 in the military, and you did a contest. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was deployed to Haiti. You know, we were deployed to Haiti when the earthquake happened on a humanitarian mission. And I guess, you know, some of the higher-ups, you know, the higher ranks wanted to create a contest, you know, a talent showcase just for the morale, you know, the fellow soldiers. We're away from home, we're away from America, we're away from our families. You know, communication is slim, you know, from the Americas all the way here to Haiti. So they just said, you know, let's create a showcase. At first, I didn't want to do it. I'm going to be honest with you. I just thought, you know, well, you know, let them do what they do. But people kept, you know, I was singing a little bit around this, and a lot of people really didn't notice me at all. And people kept saying, you know, why don't you go ahead and just try out for it? Well, when I got there, it was a lot more people than what I expected. And I'm not going to lie to you, I'm backwards. I actually perform better, and I'm actually more hyped when there's more people to perform for than a few people. I don't know why I'm like that, but that's just how I am. So 32 contestants, and I was number 30 because I got in late. I said, okay, I'll go ahead and do it. And when I got there, and some people doubted that I was even that good. Like, one of the contestants to my face was pretty much kind of shooting me down, you know, because she's she does spoken words, so she really thought that she was better than me and everything. But like I said, everybody overlooked me. I got up there, and I sung Donny Hathaway's A Song For You a cappella. I have that performance on YouTube. Shut everything down the first night. The second night, because there was only 12 selected the second night, and I performed Pretty Wing. And that's when it basically came all the way down to three final contestants, and that's when they allowed the crowd to choose which contestant was the best, and they chose me number one. And you're talking about soldiers from all over the country, high rank, low rank, black, white, even Haitians were out there. Tons of people in the crowd, by their choice, with the yelling and screaming and everything else that they were doing, they chose me number one. I won the whole thing, number one.
Wow.
32 contestants. 32. Musicians, dancers, rappers, comedians, all of that. Singers, all of that.
Wow.
From all facets of the country, from all facets of life. Yeah. I won that. First place.
Wow. Now, I want to get into your next single, Guarantee, but I want to ask y'all, where do you see... I want it individual. Each of y'all to ask the question, where do y'all see the success going, let's say, 2 years from now?
2 years from now, I see me about to release my second album, riding off of the great success of my first album.
Okay.
That's what I see.
I'm going to say let me say this too, Rich. Music today, and I don't like to belittle artists or anything like that, but I like to speak the truth. And one of the things that I thank God for, and it's been our vision. It's a vision. I think, as Mr. Simmons said, God is real in what he does and how he does it. We're looking at to bring real music back to the forefront, where people can talk about relationship and true relationships and not about irrelevant things that people can't relate to. You understand what I'm saying? So
exactly.
In 2 years, I think the music industry is going to change, because we're going to change the industry to where they'll start looking for true artists, not just image makers, but real artists. Artists that can really put music out. Because they started for a while in the 90s when D'Angelo. The 90s was the last great decade when artistry was artistry. Because in the new millennium, you've had a sprinkle here, a sprinkle there, but
a lot of the artists today is just basically a lot of labels are not spending money on artistry. They're spending money on image. And so I think what we have to need to go back to what it once was with the days of the Quincy Joneses, the L.A. Reeds, Baby Faces, all the great producers, the Princes, you know, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, those producers who were in it for the music. Music has lost its touch a little bit, and that's what we try to do, bring music back to the forefront. Real music.
Exactly.
I think in 2 years, after Aries Marquis puts his first album out, it's going to be huge. I've envisioned that God has showed me of it. It's going to be huge. But the music industry is going to change the dynamic. It's going to change the dynamics of the industry once again.
Okay. All right, callers. The phone lines are open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air to speak to Aries Marquis, Kenna, Mr. Simmons, or you can stay on the line to hear the show. If you're on your PCs, once again, the number to call, 646-200-3838, and press 1 to go on the air or stay on the line to hear the show. Okay, Aries Marquis, what I want you to do is introduce your next single, Guarantee.
All right, my next single, which is the title of the album, is also called Guaranteed. And you just have to listen for yourself.
All right, we're going to go with that. All right. This is Aries Marquis.
Another true story. Another true story.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
I know you want to go there, but before we take it there, I have a few things I need to clear up.
Guarantee.
is all I need to know. Will you be a guarantee?
Oh, I gotta tell you, man. You know, Marquise, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I thought I lost you for a minute.
No, we're still here, brother. We still here.
Oh, all right. We got some callers on the line. We're going to bring them on real fast. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on, y'all?
Hello.
Now,
hello.
Hello, yes.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
What's going on, Aries? What's going on, man?
How you doing?
A lot of good things, man. A lot of good things.
hey, man, listen, man. You know what? I want to say something, right? I'm going to get two things. I'm going to get the joke off and I'm going to get serious, man. You know, man, you sound like a good Tevin Campbell right there, man. And I think that's a real good compliment, man. You sound like a little young Tevin Campbell. I was looking at your picture on Facebook, man. You shining up, got a nice little shape up, man. I'm liking your look.
Thanks, brother. Thank you.
Hey, but to get on a serious tip, man, yo, I call myself an R&B connoisseur, man. I love 90s music, man, and what you did right there, man, you really took me back, man, to when the music was good. I know everybody would say the Temptations era and the 70s and stuff like that, but the 90s was a good blend of R&B, man, and you really took me back with them two songs, man. I'm very impressed. Very impressed.
Thank you, man.
I was raised in the 90s, so that's where a lot of the inspiration started.
I only thing I can think about, man, I see y'all in cross-color suits, man, the big tubs, your hat to the back. You know what I mean? That's what y'all seeing just now. Stop.
Yeah. We do appreciate it, man. We appreciate your time and feedback.
Yeah, good, man.
Thank you.
It was a nice look, man. I hope you just continue making music. Whatever you got going for yourself, man, I hope that God blesses you, man. Just keep working. You know, there's a lot of people out here singing, man. A lot of people ain't got no feelings, man. And you really, you know, those two songs are felt, man.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, brother. We appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for the feedback. We appreciate that. God bless you.
God bless y'all, too, man. For real.
All right.
Thank you.
Listen on. We got another track for you by Marquise, so stay right there. All right? We have another caller for you. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, yeah. I'm lost for words with that song. That was...
Thank you.
That was
Thank
awesome.
You.
I mean, I was sitting here like, oh, no, what? Yeah, okay. But I definitely want to tell you that was a banger right there. And if all of your music is like that, I know that I will be buying it. And I just want to say, keep up the good work, because you definitely did the thing on that one.
Did you hear the first
Thank
one?
You.
You must have been here the first one.
Because I just tuned in. I heard Guarantee.
Oh.
And if the first one was anything like Guarantee.
Oh, yes.
Like
I said, that the Guarantee made up for me hearing the first one, but I can always go back into the archives and listen to it.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, I just want to tell you
that was beautiful.
Thank you. Keep up
the good work.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Marquise, let me ask you. What comes to mind when you first go on the stage in the booth?
When I'm creating my music, when I'm about to record it, the first thing I think about is how can I place the passion with what I want. I just want people to feel what I felt when I was going through the things that I was going through in order to write my music. Because like I say, everything I wrote, all based on true stories. Everything is based on true stories. So I want people to relate, and I want people to feel. You know, whether it's frustration, whether it's happiness, you know, whether it's anger, I have all of that in that album. Because this is based, everything I will write will be based on true experiences. Because that's not in the industry these days, to be honest with you. A lot of people are making music, but you can't relate to it. You can't really, you know, it's just not there. It's not soulful. It's not passionate. So I always have to try to figure out ways to put as much passion in everything I sing, perform, write, arrange, yes, even the production. I just have to make it to where everybody could feel everything, everything. So that's the number one focus.
Now, if you had the chance to perform with anybody in the music industry, who would it be and why?
That's a good question, because I think about that every single day. On the female side, I'm going to put the female side first. On the female side, I would love to perform with Fantasia. And I know that sounds crazy, but the reason it is because Fantasia sings and performs, we do it alike. Like that soulful, going to church type, that's where I stand. When I get on stage, I don't like to be pretty. I'm going to just be honest with you. I was raised in a church. Most of my soulfulness comes from gospel music, you know, originally. So even when I'm writing my R&B song, or whatever type of song it is, whether it's inspirational, whatever it is, I have to have soul. So that's one on the female side. On the male side, my favorite singer is Eric Benet. Would love to perform with Eric Benet. Would love to, definitely would perform with Eric Benet.
Wow.
It's only listening to, I have a ton of them.
Oh, okay. I like those two choices, but you never know. Because a friend of mine, to be truthful with you, he just did the concert for Fantasia.
Yes,
he did. The concert for Fantasia. So you never know what might happen. No, you never know what might happen. Now,
Rich, can I say something? Can I interject a little bit, Rich?
Sure.
On the soul and the passion side of it. And to kind of inject what Harry was saying, her soul music is missing today. If you listen to singers today, that's why he said Fantasia. I love Fantasia because Fantasia takes us to church when she sings. It's kind of like when you listen to Aretha Franklin in her heyday. She would take you to church. Patti LaBelle has some of that in her. Gladys Knight. A lot of these young female artists today don't have that. Jennifer Hudson can have that, but they don't. I think the production is not what it should be for her. They try to make her sound too poppish when she's really soulful. You understand what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
So I look at certain artists that have that richness and that soulfulness, that good feeling. Soul is passion. It's what you feel. And so a lot, like I said earlier, a lot of them are looking at image and not looking at the passion. You have to love what you do. You have to love what you do.
Wow.
Mr. Rich, could I also interject something just for a second?
Sure.
Okay. When, as myself, Wilbert Chilwell Simmons, as I sit down and I listen to Aries music, I don't feel nothing but all heart and soul, because a lot of the public, they can relate to what he's saying. The ladies can, and so can the fellas, no matter what type of a situation you're going through. It's music that calms the soul or whatever. It's relaxing, and it's very enjoyable. And in today's music field, a lot of those things are missing. And like I say, a lot of these things are just commercial. But when you have an artist like Aries Marquise that sings with all heart and all soul, and he's given the opportunity, he's going to do extremely well. And he's going to be a household name. If it's God's will, his name will be a household item, a name, this year and in the years to come. And he'll never be forgotten.
Wow. Now, Dad, let me ask you, what was it like when he first was singing gospel, but then he switched to R&B? What was your first reaction on that?
It's a gift. You use your gift. You use your gift to heal souls. It's a God-given church. And see, that's what Aretha Franklin did. That goes back to what I said earlier about Aretha Franklin. Even James Brown, if you listen to his wailing and moaning in his songs, all that's church.
a lot of the R&B sound that you have on the bed, all of that started from the church. Even the Temptations. The Temptations was a member of a quartet group singing secular music because of the harmony and the soul that they do. I mean, you listen to David Ruffin's passion in his sound. And even Marvin Gaye came from the church. Marvin Gaye's daddy was a storefront pastor. So for listening to my son sing, it kind of took me back because my dad's a minister. And my dad sang gospel along with his brothers, my uncle. So it kind of took me back to when I was a young kid. My brothers and I sang. But it all starts from the church. It's a spiritual thing. To sing soul and to feel it and to exude it, it's a spiritual thing. It comes from within. And see, that's one thing I love about my son is that his voice is anointed. And I made this clear to someone earlier. I said, you can tell people's voices are anointed, like Aretha. Whitney Houston's voice was anointed. Until she destroyed it, but, I mean, her voice was anointed. She had a gift, and her voice reached the masses. People felt what Whitney sang when she was singing. When Whitney sang, she sang. She didn't just sing, she sang. That's what soul music does, R&B. And believe it or not, Michael Jackson was soulful. He grew up soulful. Michael started soulful, and still, if you listen to Michael's music, he still had his will and then his woo and all that. That's all gospel. That's soul. He felt the pinch. It was passionate.
You're absolutely right.
So my son has that same quality. He has the same quality. The same quality.
And what I like about it is, you know, he hit every note straight. It's like it's no...
Correct.
No slacking on it, and you could feel right. Like the sensation in his song and the hunger when he's singing. You understand?
Right.
And that's what's good about it. You know, because a lot of artists nowadays, they don't have that soulful feeling where you can sit back and like, if you could sit back to a song and you start reminiscing or catching chills, you know that song is definitely one that's out there. It needs to get out there.
It's definitely the hit.
Exactly.
Definitely the hit.
No. Now, Marquise, let me ask you. In the situation of Adele, are you looking for something major? Are you looking for something independent? It really don't matter.
I would really love to stay independent. I'm really enjoying it. I know, you have to put in your own time, your own money. You have to, find your own connects or whatnot. But I just love the fact that I choose what singles to push. I choose which way to go. You know, who I want to talk to, who I want to sign contract with, whether I want an exclusive deal, what I want a non-exclusive. We get to choose that on the independent side, and that's what I really love. Now, that's not saying that if major labels come with different, offers or ideas or whatever, I'll just shoot everything down. But for the major side, I'd rather just go ahead and stay independent. I love it. I'm loving it.
Okay. Well, we have more callers on the line. But first, I want to get into your next single real fast, Untouchable. Tell us about that.
Okay. Untouchable is actually about this female, this woman that I met her on Facebook. You know, I talked to her a few times, and she lives in my city. And the thing about it is, in my city, there are not many beautiful, physically beautiful females with a personality of gold. Not that many. You might find an attractive, physically attractive female, but she doesn't have a personality. She's stuck up or whatever. And then it's rare to find, even though females that don't really catch your eye but have a good personality. That's just where I'm from. But this girl was the perfect combination of both. And I said, I have to write a song. I told her, I said, I have to write a song about you because you gave me the time of day over all these guys just to simply talk to you and sit down and no attitude, nothing. I said, you untouchable. Nobody around this city, no female around this city can touch you. But as I wrote the song, it was almost like I created it to be an anthem, not just for the females who are physically and, internally and externally beautiful, but just any female who feels that they themselves are untouchable in a certain way. Hey, go for it,
That's so pretty much kind of like an anthem song, really. But it's not just about the outer beauty, it's also about the inner. That's what I also wrote that song about. A lot of people don't talk about the inner beauty. I expounded on the inner beauty in this song, not just the outer, but I talked about both of them.
Because like they said, the last two, I know this one's a killer as well. The last two is just, whew. So we're going to get into this single right here. Once again, people, the phone lines is open, 646-238-38. Press 1 to speak to Arias Marquise. When we come back, we're going to take some more callers. But we're going to get into this single right here, right now, Untouchable. Arias Marquise. Remember where you heard it, GQ Palace. Love and entertainment.
It's butter, baby. This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
And here we go. We go. We go.
Like I met today, she was a goddess, more than a dime to find, such an opportunity I could not miss. No, never have I seen beauty like I was beholding with my own eyes, full of class, her own style, everything from my so
Wow. Marquise, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
We're still
okay,
here, bro.
We have another. All right. We have another call on the line for you. You just doing it. I mean, you doing it. You doing it big. Hold on. We're going to bring that call on. Hello, caller. You there?
Hi. How are you?
Okay.
Pretty good.
Good. I was sitting here listening, and I mishapped the first half. I was just sitting here listening, writing down questions. I like to ask questions, so pardon me, but I did write down some questions I want to ask you. And I heard the other guy, Mr. Simmons. Is it Simmons? Out of Atlanta?
Hello.
Yeah, I just asked, I just texted my uncle, have you heard, you know, do he know you? His name's John Blassigame.
And what is that name again?
John Blassigame.
No, I don't believe I know
it. Bernard Bronner, that's why I said, for some reason your name sounds familiar.
Okay.
But I have questions for Aries.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what made you realize that music was your path?
Well, this might be strange a little bit, but growing up, I always asked myself, why is it that when everybody else puts their headphones on their ears and they're listening to music, they don't bob their head the whole time to every song like I do? Why is it that I walk around with this music playing in my head, song playing in my head? Why do I always envision myself standing on the stage? Why do I always envision myself writing? And at the time, I'm talking about the times where I said there is no way that I can do that. But when I sat down and I tell people, I haven't really been writing music for a long time, and I taught myself how to play and produce and do everything. I taught myself everything when it comes down to the music side. Yeah, I got my tips here and there from different people, but come on. Come on. You know?
Okay.
How many people can sit down from just raw experience and just teach themselves how to play chords on a keyboard? that in itself, I mean, is a gift.
Okay. So how would you describe that the music that you typically create?
It's unique, of course. It's passionate. And like I said before, it's true. It's true experiences. I definitely believe it's original.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next question. What makes your music unique?
Well, especially compared to today, I have no sex music at all. I have the music that my lyrics are more in-depth on things that people can relate to. It's not just, oh, let's have fun, let's party, let's pop bottles. I don't degrade females in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I'm not just talking about your body, but I'm talking about love, which is the most powerful word in the universe. And not only that, but I actually have lessons in my music. If you listen to the words, you would actually get something out of my music. Because like I say, it's all based on true experiences. And when you listen to me and you listen to the words that I'm singing, I've been there, and I'm telling you what I've been there, and so, hey, you could take things from it. That's the difference. I don't hear things like that on the radio these days. I'm just being honest.
Okay.
Mm.
Has there been one particular moment in your musical career that you're most proud of?
Yeah. There's a few of them, really, but yeah. I think my most proud moment, to be honest, is when I finished my entire album, to be honest, because it is, I know we were talking about the duo group, but what people don't know is I had to kind of restart everything over, because not only did he leave me behind, and I had to re-record some of the song that he did, but the producer who was producing at the time, she also bailed out. So I had to teach myself how to get in a studio. My dad purchased a studio. I had to get there and teach myself Pro Tools. I had to teach myself how to play chords, and most of all, how to create and arrange the song, the music to the songs that I already wrote, because I was just going to be a singer-songwriter. I didn't plan on producing and all of that stuff. But so to say that I finished the entire album like I did,
with the help of another producer. He produced three songs, but the rest of the songs on his album, that's mine. Arrangements, lyrics, production, all of that's all me. That's my most proud moment.
Okay. What are your biggest music influences? The biggest.
Gospel singer Darryl Coley, Eric Benet, harmony-wise, The Temptations, Donny Hathaway, and let me see if I can fit one more because I have tons. And D'Angelo, because of his uniqueness of how he created his own style, D'Angelo. Those are all, I get inspiration from each and every single one of those.
And Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
Okay.
Marvin, of course, Marvin and Michael, but when I very first started it out, yeah. That, like I said, I have tons of them, but just off the back of the head, those are the ones.
Okay, this is what I need. I need Arius, because we have another segment coming on with special guest appearance, Pete Jackson from Touch of Class.
Uh-huh.
What I want you to do, I want you to give everybody your information. Let them know where they can get that guaranteed CD and everything. My lines is flooded. So let them know about everything, where they can get the CD and everything at. You know, give your shout outs and
okay.
Everything.
Okay, right now, the only thing I'm selling right now is my single, Untouchable. I'm a release guarantee. I'm releasing singles right now until the whole album comes out. But you could find me on Amazon, iTunes. I'm on Twitter, Aries Marquise, at Aries Marquise. Of course, I'm on Facebook, Aries Marquise, Reverb Nation. You could pretty much type me up on Bing or Google, and you'll find, you know, me all over it. And that's A-R-I-E-S, like the Zodiac, Marquise, M-A-R-Q-U-I-S, like Grand Marquise.
Okay,
just type me in,
okay.
Bing, Google, wherever you want to type me in, you'll find me. I'm on YouTube, all of that. I'm everywhere.
Okay. Well,
say this, Richard, for the album will be released probably in August, because we kind of finish up some small things we want to do. So the album will be released, and then when we release it, we're gonna let you know. That way we can pass it along to the fans out there.
Yes, we need those exclusives and everything, because we definitely gonna bang them. Like
yeah,
I said, we got those on the mixtape already, and everything.
Right.
So we definitely gonna do something.
You
know,
definitely,
we definitely got it going on.
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
Okay.
And I want to thank y'all. And, you know, Simmons, you know, we're going to be doing business. Marquise, y'all welcome back anytime. It's never a problem. Just give me that call and back on. No problem.
Rich, we do appreciate it. Thank you, man. We thank you so much for your platform. We thank you for the opportunity. And most of all, we're going to continue to work with you and continue to stay in touch and move the product forward. Move Black Music by the Hill forward.
Yep.
All right.
And Mr. Rich, it's always a pleasure speaking to you. My company is called Powerlight Productions Personal Management out of Elizabeth City, North Carolina. And again, I'm grateful to God for this unique and special gift, this talent that God has blessed the world with now to share, Aries Marquise. So, and like I said, also, Mr. Rich, you and I, we're going to be doing some great things together concerning some projects. And feel free to pass my information on to the public if you like. There's never a problem. I'm always happy to do what I can to help someone else.
Okay. Well, you know what? Give them that now. Let them know about it now, you know. But like I said, we're still going to be doing business. I'm still going to pass it on. But you want to pass it on to them now? Go ahead and do that real fast.
Yes, sir. I sure will. My personal cell phone number is area code 252-312-9780. You would just ask for myself, Wilbert Chilwell Simmons. My email address is basically my name in small letters, chilwell49@gmail.com.
All right. And I'm going to definitely keep in contact with you. We definitely going to be doing some things like we talked about earlier. Definitely going to get Marquise out there. And you never know, Marquise, that Fantasia thing just might happen. I'm going to make some calls and see what's going on with that. So you never know.
This too also, Rich, also, I'm going to give you my information as well. Black Music Cartel Entertainment Incorporated, Inc. That's Kenneth H. Johnson. You can reach me at my cell number 225-247-6737.
Say it again.
I'm the manager. 225-247-6737. 3-7. That's how you can reach me.
Okay. Got it.
Call me anytime of day, 24-7. It doesn't matter. I'm Aries' manager, his father, and Mr. Simmons. You can always touch base with him. You can always get with me. So we're always available.
All right.
We're all like one big family or whatever. And they say a family that prays together stays together.
So you can try to anytime you need us or want us.
All right. I'm definitely
going to
do that. All right.
Thank you again, brother. We do appreciate you. God bless.
Same to you. Aries Marquise, Kenneth Johnson, and Mr. Simmons, Dons and Divas. All right, coming
Thank
up
you.
Next, all right, our special guest appearance, Mr. Pete Jackson from Touch of Clash, and he is in the building, and we're going to be playing some exclusive music, first time played on GQ Palace. What we're going to do right now is we're going to take y'all back with one of his joints. I'm going to just play it for y'all. I ain't going to tell y'all the name, but we'll be right back with Mr. Pete Jackson right here on GQ Palace Radio. Love and entertainment. It's butter, baby.
right, Johns and Divas. Welcome back to the palace. And with me, I have Mr. Pete Jackson. Pete, welcome to the show.
All right. What's up, Rich?
What's going on? First, I want to tell you.
Man. You got it going on, bro.
I'm
great.
I'm trying to get where you at, man. No.
That's what's up, man.
First, I want to tell you, it's definitely an honor having you on. I really do appreciate the fact of you. I know you're a busy man. You got a lot of things going on, you know.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
and I
that's
want to
right.
Tell
well, we all want to keep it going.
Exactly. Now.
Yeah, but listen, Rich, before you go any further, I want to say the pleasure is mine. You know what I mean? This is a great opportunity, man, and I'm feeling that.
All right. I definitely appreciate that. Now, wow, where do we start? You just bring it all, you know, like.
Okay. Well, you want. Well, we started. Go ahead. No, we started. Okay, we started actually in Paterson, New Jersey. We all went to school together. My brother and my cousin Herbie. You know, we all sang in high school, and at some point we decided that we wanted to go professional. You know, so we put the Touch of Class thing together. And at that time, man, it was the 70s. You know, and we felt like that was a element that was missing, you know, among R&B groups. It was, you know, nobody really playing the class thing hard. So we wanted to dress a certain way, you know, with the Barcelona hats and the, you know, we wore spats back then, man, and the suits, you know, the Italian suits. So we tried to play that whole concept all the way in, you know, and that thus Touch of Class was born, you know. We signed our first recording agreement in March 1975 with Midland RCA Records.
Wow. Now, who came up with the name Touch of Class?
Actually, we had two brothers that were managing us at the time, Al Greenberg and Art Greenberg. They were brothers, two Jewish guys from out of Fairlawn, New Jersey. And actually, there was a movie out or had been out recently during that time, and they thought that that would be a nice name because of the concept that we had. So we kind of put the two things together, you know, and thus Touch of Class, you know.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, what was that experience like when y'all first got that record deal?
Oh, man, that was huge, man, because let me go back a little bit, Rich. My brother and I, we loved music all of our life, and there was certain groups that we admired, you know, throughout, and as we were growing up, certain groups we admired, and we had the good fortune to meet the Stair Steps. I'm sure you know the five Stair Steps. And this is before Touch of Class happened now. So the Stair Steps at that time needed two members to replace Kenneth and Aloha, who had retired, and they had several gigs left under contract that they had to complete. And my brother and I had the good fortune to take those spots. So we worked with Stair Steps for a while before we actually got our own deal. You know what I mean? And that was a huge experience for us because it allowed us to, like, meet a lot of people and, you know, really get into the top level of show business at that time. So, you know, but then after that finished, everyone retired from the Stair Steps. So we were left, man, to form our own group. So that's when we really put the Touch of Class thing together.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, what is it like working with a group?
Working with a group?
Yeah.
You mean as a member of a group, right?
Yeah, as a member.
Well, and you mean versus being a solo artist, right? Is that what
yes,
you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, working with a group, man, is well, I found that it's not the easiest thing because you have different personalities and different opinions, and you know, you have to be able to mesh all of that into one agreement. You know what I mean? And that's where the struggle comes in. But fortunately, we were family, so we didn't have too much problem with that. You know what I mean? We were always able to come to an agreement. You know.
Mm. Okay.
But working with a group is nice because you don't feel so isolated. You feel like you got camaraderie and somebody got your back all the time. So, yeah, that's the good thing about working with a group, you know.
Okay. Now, in every group, I'm putting you on the spot now. In every group,
okay,
you have the quiet one, you have the moody
uh-huh.
one, and you have the loud one.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
break that down.
I'm gonna break that down for you. In our particular group, there was not a loud one. Okay.
Okay.
But there was the quiet one, which was my cousin Herb, right? My mm-hmm. my brother Gerald is very introverted. He's not like really outward with a lot of people. He don't dig being around a whole lot of crowds and stuff like that unless we're working. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say I'm the loud one, but I'm the more outspoken one. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's how that would break down with us, you know.
Okay. Well, what I want to do right now, because my lines is flooded, they on fire. So I want to get
okay.
into one of your singles real fast, and then we're going to take some
uh-huh.
callers.
Okay.
But I want to get into your single, No More. Not
okay.
Needing My Love No More. Tell us about
okay.
that.
Okay. Oh, man. Well, that's a song, you know, naturally, you know, we started a long time ago. So there's a new vibe of music right now. But we still love our old school stuff, man, like that we always loved. So what we tried to do with No More was come up with a song that was like part of yesterday and part of today. You know what I mean? And fortunately, my daughter Tanya, she wrote the lyrics for this song, No More.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother Gerald and I, we did the track. So, you know, there it is. It's to yesterday and today. That's what No More is to me.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna get into that single. Then we're gonna come back, and I want to talk to you about turning the beat around.
Okay. That's
right.
What's up. That's a very interesting story too.
Okay, we definitely going to get into that. But, you know, I want to give
okay.
them some flavor of what's going on. We're going to take some callers, then we're going to get into that, all right?
Okay, you got it.
All right. All right, Dons and Divas. Here's some fire by Pete Jackson, Touch of Class. Remember where you heard it first, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
I can't lose my patience.
Brother Gerald actually produced.
Your brother, your brother.
Yeah. Actually, man, we lay tracks pretty quickly, man. You know, there's the fine tuning that takes the time, but the main vibe of that just kind of came, man. You know, and it took us like, man, a few hours. You know.
Okay. But we have a call
we try to not force songs. You know, we try to like let it come, you know what I mean? And if it's coming like that, they usually come pretty easy, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of trying to force it.
Right.
But we have a call on the line. I want to bring them on. Hello, call, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm in the building.
All right, what's going on?
Cool. Salute.
Well, we have Pete Jackson on the line from Touch of Class.
What's good, Mr. Jackson? What's happening? Yo, this the mayor right here, Rich. What's going on, man?
Well, mayor, what's going on?
Everything's good, man. How about you?
Listen, man, I'm vibing on the Friday night with my man on the air again, and Pete Jackson, such a fast, is giving a real history lesson. I just want to say salute to you and what you're doing. The song is on point. I appreciate it. I really want to talk fast, because I want you to get to that Vicky Sue Robinson story right there. You know what I'm saying? I'm here. Like,
right.
This is a history lesson right now, man. I just want to say salute. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, whatever. And it is what it is, man. Salute GQ Powers all day, man. I'm here, man. I'm listening, man. I want to get to the story, man.
Okay, that's what's up, man. That's what's up, man.
All right. All right, we have another call on the line for you. We're going to bring them on.
Okay.
Hello, call, are you there?
What's up, Mr. Jackson? What's going on, man?
Everything's good. How about you?
I don't know if you know who this is. You recognize his voice. This is your favorite doorman, man. What's up, man? What's going on?
What's up, Ra? My man.
Hey, man. I'm so proud of you, man. Hey, Pete, I'm so proud, man. This is so much a good look, man. And, you know, my man Rich Money, man, he do a lot of big things. He had a lot of artists on the show, man. And you go right there in the upper echelon, man. This is a real excellent interview, man. you showing all the class like your group is, man. I'm loving the music. You know I'm a big fan of yours, man. I look up to you, man. I'm just happy to see you, man. You know what I mean? You getting the shine that you're supposed to, man.
All right. I appreciate that, man. I really do, Raheem. I do.
No, I hope everybody realizes, man. I hope they're hitting you up on YouTube, touching class, looking into your bio, seeing the things that you really did in the industry. I think everybody understands this man wrote Turn the Beat Around. You understand how big that song is? You got movies. You got people that made remixes of the song. I mean, just on and on and on. It's real legendary right here on GQ Palace tonight, man. Hey, Rich, you really doing it right now. Rich, you up there,
yeah.
Rich. Yeah,
yeah.
Man. You done had Michael Jackson cut, now you got Keith Jackson.
That was Michael Jackson's niece.
Oh, Michael Jackson's niece, now you got Pete Jackson.
Yeah,
you got Bo Jackson up the joint.
All right, that's what's up, man. Rich Money doing his thing, ain't he, Rob?
Hey, he doing his thing. Hey, but Pete, man, listen, I told you, that song right there, they put that on the radio right now, man. They can put that on the radio right now, Pete.
Okay.
I love that
song,
man.
I want to hear, brother.
All right, man. Yeah, look, I'm gonna let you go because I know you got mad callers, man. But you know where I'm at, man. I'm making sure nobody goes up to your crib, man, right now. And you know what I mean? I know you're doing your interview thing. But yo, big up, man. I love you, man. I appreciate everything you did for me. I appreciate everything you did for Rich, and I appreciate you everything for GQ Powers, man. Keep it up, man.
All right, thank you very much, man, and happy Father's Day to you, Rob.
You too, the same, man.
Okay, man.
All right. Yes, I want to get into that story, but my line is flooded. So everybody that's on the line that's listening, if you want to speak to Pete Jackson from Touch of Class, press 1 to go on the air, but you can stay on the line to hear your show. I mean, hear the show. Now, Mr. Pete.
Yes, sir.
Turn the beat around. Tell us about
Oh, yeah.
How you come to that song and how it's just circulating everywhere. You know,
well, let me tell you first how Turn the Beat Around started, okay? My brother Gerald and I, we hadn't got our deal yet when we first wrote that song. No, actually, I'm mistaken. We had just gotten our deal, okay? And we had a single out called I'm in Heaven Whenever I'm With You, and the single was doing crazy numbers, man, especially in New York. I think we did about 80,000 in New York right away. And so they called us in quickly to do an album, because we had a single deal at first. But they called us in to do an album, and they said, listen, if you guys want to get some songs on your album, you need to do some demos and bring them in so we can see where your writing is at. So we said, okay, fine. And thus, we went back to the drawing board, man, and we wrote about 5 songs, and we brought them in, and Turn the Beat Around was one of them that we presented for our album. And they picked the other 4 songs, and they did not pick Turn the Beat Around because they said the lyrics moved too fast, and we had a little jungle beat in there, which later on became known as a disco break. You know, and they didn't like it. So that gave us free rein to go elsewhere with the song. Now, when we did the demo, we did it at a studio called Associated, where a friend of mine worked. His name was Al Garrison, and it was we did it on a Sunday. Al said, I'll open the studio up for you for 4 hours, but you have to be out by 4 o'clock because I'm going to dinner with my girlfriend, and she's going to pick me up at 4 o'clock. So we said, all right, Al, we'll get it done. We want to do this one song we think is hot, man. So if you let us come in, we'll get out of your way at 4. So that's what we did. We went into the studio. Naturally, I called my friend Clarence Burt from Stair Steps and his brother Kenny. Kenny played bass. Clarence played guitar. I played the drums and percussions. My brother Gerald played the keys. And then Gerald and I did the vocals, okay? So we're listening to the playback at about 10 minutes to 4, and the doorbell rings, and he says, that's probably my girlfriend. So he opens the door, and in walks this very vibrant young lady. I mean, she just reeked show business, man. You know, like, she looked like she stepped out of a show business magazine, right? And she immediately said, wow, whose song is that playing? So Al said, oh, that's Pete and Gerald's song. They just did it. He said, unbelievable how quick they did this. She was like, wow, man, that's a great song. She says, I got to have that song. So he says, well, before you say anything else, let me introduce you. He says, Pete, Gerald, this is my girlfriend, Vicky Sue. Vicky Sue, this is Pete and Gerald. So this young lady was Vicky Sue Robinson, who also had a deal on RCA. And she was finishing her album up, and she needed one more song. And we told her, no, you can't have this song because we're getting ready to present this tomorrow. This was on a Sunday. Monday, we had our meeting with Midland to present our songs. And we said, you can't have it. We're going to present this tomorrow for our album, and I'm sure they're going to take it. She said, oh, man, that's very disappointing. She said, that song is perfect for me, man. I would love to do that song. So we said, well, sorry, you know. So anyway, after our meeting, after they passed on it, we immediately went downstairs, and I called out, and he gave Vicky's number, and I called her. And I said, do you still want that song? And she said, absolutely, I do. And thus, the Vicky Sue Robinson story, man. She did that song at Top 10 Pop. You know, yeah. And then the president of our label was at a RCA customers meeting, and they were playing this song, and everybody, the way I heard, they were dancing on the tables up there. And someone said to him, wow, you know, Bob, your guys wrote this song. And he said, what do you mean my guys wrote it? And he said, yeah, the two brothers, Pete and Joe from Touch of Class, they wrote this. And he said, well, if they wrote it, then that's my song. And they're in violation of contract. But he didn't know that his A&R guy had passed on it, man. His head of A&R, man. So that's the way that story went, man.
Wow.
And you know, like sometimes, not to get too heavy on the spiritual side, but it may have been better for us that she did it. You know what I mean? Because we didn't get the attention from RCA that she got. You know what I mean? And the song went over large, man, large. It's today considered an American classic. So I think that was just a blessing. That's a blessing that we got, man. You know?
Definitely is a classic.
Right.
Wow.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Now, what if somebody else was to want to remake it as of right now? Would you allow them to do it? Would you give them those rights to do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, man. Quite a few people have done it already. I mean, you know, Gloria remade it.
Yeah.
And she did well. Yeah, yeah. Laura Branigan did it. You know, it's been in some movies, you know. So we steadily clocking with that, man. And you know, Gene, not to get too far off the point, but I don't know if you're familiar with the I Can't Believe It's Not Butter commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah, they use Turn the Beat Around's music, so that treated us lovely. That was really nice, man. That came in really lovely, man, you know. So it's the gift that keeps on giving. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Now, as far as you and your brother and your cousin, do you have any... Now, as far as the whole Touch of Class thing, do y'all got any... How can I say it? Because are you the lead singer of Touch of Class?
Well, I do lead sometimes. My brother is the main lead singer. Okay, my brother Gerald. I do some leads. You know, I got a couple of leads that I've done on each album. You know, so just to add some diversity to the group. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But Gerald is mainly the lead.
Okay, I want to get into another thing, but first I want to ask you: is other processes you proceed in right in the music industry that you was informing me earlier.
Yeah, we just did a project. Yeah, we just did a project with a young man. His name is Super J. He's from New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a ballad singer, and you know, he sings the style of like the Stylistics and Blue Magic and you know, Ted Mills, that type of sound, you know. And he looked for producers that could give him that, and he fortunately found us. And we We try to give him that, man. He's got some nice songs on a new CD just dropped, man, called For Lovers Only. That's available now on CDBaby.com and iTunes and Amazon. You could get it on any of those places. But if you like love music, man, and that candlelight, midnight stuff, you will definitely like that CD. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's well, Super J for Lovers Only.
Okay, Super J for Lovers Only. Now, I want to get into another one of your singles, Dreaming.
Yeah, that's going to be on the new Touch of Class CD. Like I told you earlier, man, the songs you're playing now, they've not been played ever before. So we're just giving folks a peek at how the Touch of Class new CD will come off, man. That's another song that's going to be on it. And song's concept is, you know, it's only in the dream that this girl is you know, the relationship happens. It's only in the dream. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's a nice concept, man, you know.
Okay, yes, it is. I heard it. Now we're going to let them hear because the lines is on fire.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I would like for you to introduce that next single.
Okay. The song is called Dreaming by Touch of Class, written by my brother and myself, produced by us, and recorded by Touch of Class.
All right. On GQ Palace Radio.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive. My soul.
like that one too. It got that soul flavor to it.
Huh?
I like that too, because it got the soul flavor. It got that relaxed, like that old school feel to it. And that's
right,
what
right,
I like
right.
about it.
Right,
that's
right.
What
thank
I like
you, man.
About
thank
it.
You. Okay, thank you so much, man.
Now, what's the next step for Touch of Class?
The next step, well, we're trying to get this this CD done, because we have a we've been blessed to have a soundtrack situation coming up very soon with Leith Enterprises is doing a film called Warlords, and
mm-hmm.
we're going to be doing the soundtrack to that movie. It's going to be starring Tony Todd and a couple of other names, man, but. We're kind of really high on that, because this would be our first soundtrack that we completely have done, you know, from beginning to end. You know, we're going to do the whole orchestrations and everything. So we'll be working with the expertise of Patrick Adams, who's going to do our strings and horn stuff. And Patrick is an icon in the business. He did Candy Staten and Musique. He's done Rick James, you know. So he's mm-hmm. definitely a high-powered vehicle that we'll be using on this soundtrack. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, my wife, Eleanor Jackson, is going to be doing a new gospel CD that we're also working on. Yeah, and that's going to be really hot, because we already done a large portion of it, and that is really coming out lovely. We're really, really thankful the way that's coming out. So everybody can look forward to that. That's going to be a really, really nice thing when we're done. So we got quite a bit of work ahead of us, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, what's the difference between the music from back then that y'all did compared to the music now?
You want my personal opinion?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. Back then, the music had... There were more stories in the lyrics, okay? There was more stories, that's one thing. And because you had several different musicians and different spirits and souls involved in a session, all of those souls came together to create one object, and that's what made it so warm and listener-friendly, you know what I mean? Like when you got all those bodies and all of those minds and all of those spirits to come together on one objective, it made the music more personal and warm to me than today. Because today you have a lot of producers that do everything. They write the song, they sing the song, they do the arrangement, they produce it, you know. So it's not a lot of people involved a lot of times. It's only one person. You know what I'm saying? And I think that ultimately the music comes out a little different, you know? It's like when you used to see your grandma make a cake and she would just take a little bit of ingredient and squeeze it between her fingers and sprinkle a little of that, and then she would get a little of that. And you'd be saying, like, you didn't measure anything. She said, no, it's a feel. You know what I mean? It's the same way with making a record. You know, like, there's a difference in singing a song or making a record. You know what I mean? That there's a difference. So when you're making a record, those ingredients have to be right. And when you had experts in each area of it, it ultimately made it come out better to me. That's just my personal view on it. You know what I mean?
Okay,
for instance, Rich, is this, like, arrangements were important back then. You know, like, I idolized people like Tom Bell and Johnny Pate that did all Curtis's arrangements, and Bobby Martin that did a lot of Philly stuff, you know. Like, these guys were experts in arranging a song. So you got the writer who wrote it. Then you got the producer usually would put the rhythm section together, or sometimes the arranger would do that too. But once they start laying strings and horns and those things would complement the vocal in the song. So today you don't have that, you know, everybody's using software, and they just get on their keyboard and bang out some, oh, that's strings. I'll put it on the string setting and then play some chords, and then that's your strings. But back then, you had guys actually write out the violin parts. You know what I'm saying? And then the people that came in to play it, they were experts in what they did. They were expert violinists and cellists and you know, the guys that had studied for years, sometimes all of their life. So, you know, I used to get a kick out of seeing the string players come in, because you're doing an R&B record, and the string guys come in, and, man, they might be 70 years old, 60, you know, 75, you know what I mean? They all broke down. But when they pull that axe out, bro, and start... And sometimes they would just look at you and say, there go your record. You know, like two takes, they done, they going home. But, you know, when you listen to those old records, man, and you hear those string sections, man, that stuff was righteous, you know.
Yeah. They don't make, you know, it's not music like that no more. You know, everybody want to do something in the bed, you know.
Yeah. On the quick tip, yeah, I got you, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
If you had the opportunity, if you wanted to perform with any artist that's out here right now, who would it be and why?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who would it be and why? I would say, you mean like doing a show with them or working?
Yeah. Doing a show, working with them, you know.
I would say R. Kelly. R. Kelly.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. I tell you, Anthony Hamilton.
Oh, you know, yeah, Anthony. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know what, man? Music Soul Child, I like a lot of his stuff, too, you know. He has a really nice feel, you know. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, what I want to do right now is I want to dance for one more of your singles.
Okay.
Invisible. Tell us about that.
Oh, Invisible. Okay. It's a basic love song. It's like you know, you're saying to your lover or to your girl, you know, she's not ever there for you. So it's like, I can't see what's invisible, and if she's not ever home, you know, I can't touch what's never there. And if she don't talk to you, it's like I can't hear what you never said. So that's really the basic hook. You know, it's like a problem relationship, you know, but it's still a love song.
But you know what I do? I want to do something different tonight. What I want to do is I want to play Invisible, and then I want to play Love Me Tonight.
Oh, okay.
I want to do both of those. This is the first time I ever did this. But I want to play Invisible, then Love Me Tonight. So tell us about Love Me Tonight. Right after Invisible, we're going to go into Love Me Tonight.
Okay. You want me to tell you about that right now?
Yes.
Okay. Love Me Tonight was on our first album. It's one of the songs that I did the lead on. And we recorded it at Sigma Sound in Philadelphia with the MFSB Orchestra. And Love Me Tonight is a killer love song. That's all I can say about it, you know.
All right. So we're going to get into both of those right now. We're going to go back
okay.
to that.
First all right, that's what's up. Okay. All right. My man.
Okay. All right, Dons and Divas. First time on GQ Palace Radio, we playing back-to-back bangers by Touch of Class. Remember where you heard it first. Mr. Pete Jackson, special guest appearances in the building. I'm your host, Rich Money, and this is how we going down here on GQ Palace Love and Entertainment.
It is butter, baby!
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Right here, my brother. I'm right here.
I love these songs, man. I'm really
enjoying these
songs. But we have a caller line. I'm going to bring them on. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am. My name is Sherry from Jersey, and I just wanted to tell Mr. Jackson, thank him and his brother in the Touch of Class so much. Because they did a lot for the generation I came up with. I grew up on that music. So I want to tell him, keep on doing what he's doing.
Thank you very much, Gary. Thank you. Thank
Bye-bye.
You so much.
Wow. Thank you for calling, Gary. We have another caller. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. You on the air with Pete Jackson?
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you, darling?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying the show.
Well, thank you very much. Rich Money doing his thing, right?
Yes, he is.
You're doing your thing.
I'm enjoying the music. I'm enjoying the music as well. I'm the younger generation, I must say, but I'm loving it. I'm loving it. It definitely, you know, gives you a better understanding to the music that was made, you know,
back then.
And then I think you're doing a wonderful job with the new music that you have coming out as well. I'll definitely purchase the CD, definitely.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Just keep doing the job.
All right. We have another caller for you. We're going to bring them on, please. Hello, caller, okay. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, good. Yes, I can. I can hear you.
Hi. I am definitely feeling the music. Oh, my. I'm loving it.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I am truly a fan, enjoying it to the max.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I thank you to the max. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you.
You are welcome. Continue to step.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good night.
Okay, good night now.
Now, Pete, let me ask, I didn't even know we was in the archives. Wow. Now,
wow.
Now,
okay, man. All right.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. But what I want you to do, I want you to give everybody the information on how they could get the CD or what's going on with the CD and everything.
Okay. Okay. Well, the CD is about one song away from completion, but as soon as it's finished and released, it'll be on cdbaby.com, on Amazon, on iTunes. You can get it at any of the online stores.
Okay. Now, can we expect any new videos for these new songs coming out?
Yeah, actually, we're laying out the storyboards right now for No More. That'll be the first video.
Okay.
Uh huh. Yeah, and we got some really really good people, you know, working on it. And I would like to give a shout out if I can, Rich, to the Mad Bass Recording Studios in East Orange, New Jersey. My brother Kasim over there, man, who is one of the best producers, engineers, technicians in the business, and we have the pleasure of working with him. So I just wanted to give him a shout out, man. Okay.
All right, all right.
Now, one other thing I would like to add. Okay,
sure.
I know you hear a lot of show business stories, and I heard you ask a previous guest what was the an exciting thing that happened in his career. But I would like to just mention that Touch of Class opened for the Jacksons on a 21-city tour, you know, and we had the pleasure of working with them, with Mike, Jackie, Tito, and Marlon, and Randy in 21 different cities, man. And that was really a phenomenal experience to work with them and be with them on the road every day, and it was just a great thing. So I have some jewels that I hold dear from my show business career, and that's one of them, you know, that really I hold that high. And I'd like to give a shout out to those brothers too, if any of them are listening.
Yeah, we had it was Rakim was saying, we had Tanae on last week. Tito's Jackson daughter.
Right,
Jackson.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
She's doing things and everything like that. She's in summer camp.
I've heard some great things about her, too. Yeah.
But I didn't even realize he was in the archives. I don't want this to cut us off.
Well, listen, I want to ask you this. Can I ask you a question, man? Once our CD is completed, right? I would like to come back on your show with my brother Gerald and Hemp, my cousin, and we could launch our CD on your show, if that's cool with you.
Sure, I would love that. I would love that. I would love that. Really love that. That's right there. You don't need to, all you got to do is call and just let me know.
Okay,
you
got it.
You got my number, you got the executive producer number, you got Lavina number as well.
Let's not forget the Super J CD that's on CD Baby right now.
Okay.
He got a tough song on there called Together. And I think, man, the people are going to love that, man. You know, so, you know, I want to just keep that in mind. That's out right now, and it's on cdbaby.com. So.
Okay. Well, Mr. Jackson, I want to thank you. It's truly an honor And when you're ready to come back, all you got to do is let us know. And you're going to
okay,
right back
got
home
it.
With no problem. No problem.
All right.
At all.
Okay, okay. And I want to give a shout out to all the fathers out there. I want to wish everyone a happy Father's Day, a safe and blessed Father's Day for all of the fathers out there, okay?
Yes, same to you as well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, man.
Because I still need to, we're still going to talk behind the scenes and everything. I'm going to keep in contact with you. I got to discuss with you earlier about it. Artist, you know, we'll talk, but we're definitely going to talk behind the scenes.
Okay, absolutely, man. You have my number as well, right?
Yes, I have.
So we'll stay in communication.
I'm going to call you right after the show.
Oh, okay, okay, that's what's up. Okay. All right, Rich. And listen,
right.
Again, man, this has been my pleasure, man. I really enjoyed this, man. I think you do a fantastic job, man, really. You know, and I want you to keep on doing what you're doing, man, because we need it. We really need it. If we want to preserve our music, which is part of our history as a people, the R&B music, man, must survive, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And brothers like yourself, man, are the vehicles that will keep it going, man. So, you know, many kudos to you, bro. Okay?
Same to you.
All right. All right, thank you very much, man. And one more shout out, Rich. Shout out to my brother Gerald. I don't know if he's listening or not, but I wish
be.
His.
I'm not even lying to you. My lines is flooded.
Okay, I want to wish my brother's wife well. She's been ill as of late, and I just wanted to wish her well and wish my brother well too. Also, okay.
All right. Okay. All
right,
Mr. Pete Jackson from Touch of Class, Dons and Divas. Well, that's it for tonight's show. I want to thank all my guests. I want to thank the callers. But most of all, I want to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. And once again, a special thanks to my special guest appearance, Mr. Pete Jackson. Don't forget to get that Touch of Class coming out on CDBabies.com, I believe. Well, he'll be back on right after it's out to share those exclusives. So next time, because my line is flooded, don't be scared. Talk to the man. Talk to the man, let him know how you feel. All right? I want to give a shout out to all the fathers out there. Happy Father's Day. Also, let y'all know about GQ Pilots episodes. On Sundays, we have Spiritual Sunday with Lavina Polite from 7 to 9 p.m., bringing you the most powerful evangelists, pastors, ministers, and elders. They play gospel music. They also quote scriptures from the Bible. And you feel free to call in and give your testimonies. Right after Spiritual Sunday, we have Crossroad Temple with Mr. Faith Walker, who also interviews up-and-coming gospel artists, hip-hop, gospel, Christian artists, everything only dealing with gospel. That Sunday, 7 to 9, Spiritual Sunday, 9 to 10, Crossroad Temple. Lavina Polite, Faith Walker. On Tuesdays, we have DPS, DQ Palace Sports with the Mayor, bringing you the bigger picture. So if you say you know about sports, tune into that from 8 to 10 p.m. with the Mayor. On Wednesdays, we have the Diva Squad, Love Fantasy, from 7 to 9, from 7 to 9, bringing you the grown and sexy topics and playing the old and new slow jams and R&B. After the Diva Squad, on Love Fantasy, we have Fallout Comedy from 9 to 10 with my man, Rakim Chick Singleton, bringing you the funniest, hilarious jokes and comedy on the radio live. On Thursdays, we have Reality and Relationship with KL and Tiffany Belvin, letting you know what's going on in the world today and speaking to you about relationships and give you that truth to the matter feedback on relationships. So feel free to call in on every show, same number, same link. Once again, I want to tell all the fathers, Happy Father's Day. Give a shout out to my cousin, Sicko. It's his birthday today. Shout out to him. I want to wish y'all a safe and blessed weekend as well. This is Rich Money, and you tuned in to GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment. We're going to go out with that flavor, that butter, that's by Mr. Pete Jackson. He wrote, Turn the Beat Around. Remember, you tuned in to GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby.
For sure.